Blog Talk Radio.
I'll meet you in the shadow of my wing. I will. I'll meet you in the wildest of your dreams. I will. Winter's gone. Spring is now coming, my love.
And thank you for joining us here on the Healing Light Show. I'm your host, Ken Burrell. And today we have a guest who I haven't ever met in person, but I have been on the phone with her a couple of times. Her name is Dr. D. King. Dr. King has spent many, many years in the missionary field. We're going to talk about our missions necessary today. We're also going to talk, hopefully, about some of her prophetic gifting, because she does have a gift, that's for sure. So joining us right now is Dr. King. Good morning, Dr. King.
Good morning, praise the Lord. How are you?
I am healthy, happy, terrific, can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Bless going in, bless going out, but I do thank you for the inquiry.
Okay, praise God. That is good. I'll try to memorize that quickly.
I've been saying that for 35 years, so I've kind of got it down now.
Well, you absolutely know the profession of your mouth is in the content of your heart. So, you know, we know that.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
I believe in positive professions.
Amen. Amen.
So, Dr. King, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll transcend over to a little bit about your ministries.
Okay, well, as you know, I think by the bio, I'm a wife, a mom of five beautiful children, all adopted, and have done missions not only in the United States for many, many years, and then God shifted and sent us out to the nations and spent nearly 20 years in India, and I'm still there. When time allows, we're in a state of transition, like everyone in America who loves the Lord Jesus. We're taking our stand, taking our voice, and moving forward in the gospel. And I don't have that word retirement in my vocabulary. We are, in fact, I feel like at this stage and at this time and this season in all of our lives, this is where we become the mature Christian. This is where we become the person that we've been groomed to be all these years, and this is our opportunity to, for the sake of the gospel, give Jesus to everyone who needs to know him. And that's pretty much where I'm at today.
Amen. So you said you spent a lot of time in India, 20 years?
Yeah. We started out teaching Bible college, invitation to teach Bible college there, and spent 8 years doing that, my husband and I together. And then we transitioned out of the Bible college and into the direct mission fields, individual churches, children's homes. And we now are actually involved in helping build homes for the elderly widows and widowers in India. And that's how God has shifted us right now.
You know, you said that the word retire is not in your vocabulary. I have noticed myself recently, I am retired, quote unquote, but I have noticed here in the past year or so that God is using people in our age group more and more and more than ever before. And he's also using young children more and more and more. And both groups are walking in, the ones that I'm seeing anyhow, are walking in the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. And that to me is exciting, because I believe with every fiber of my being, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And I believe I get to see it.
I'm believing that. I'm believing that, you know, I set my feet in Israel, and I was able to see the surroundings and the places and the things that God had appointed to us in Scripture about where his feet would actually land. And I went and I stood at the Eastern Gate, and I said, come now. This would be great. Come now. You know, so I do believe that hope, that since the time that we got saved until now, that is the hope that he planted in my spirit, that we would see that. And in reference to the small children, I actually, you know, that was our first 15, 17 years there. We worked with the children's homes, thousands and thousands of children all over. And, of course, that is the one thing that is vital to the knowledge that the young people who are having children need to know, is that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, all throughout history have been born with the full knowledge of God in them. Children all over the world, they leave heaven, their soul leaves heaven and comes to this earth as a child. And they know who Jesus is. They know. We knew before we left heaven as the Spirit, as he sent us here to our parents, we knew him. And so it's vitally important. And in these nations and other places, they know that too. They know that conversion is very important at a young age. So to see the young people teaching their babes about the full knowledge of Christ and allowing 2- and 3-year-olds to preach the gospel, wow, you know, that's amazing to me. You know, just, I love it. I love every bit of it.
Well, I agree with you. I believe that with all my heart, that, you know, Jesus gave us the opportunity to come here at this point in time. And I tell people all the time, 12 years, oh, well, it's pretty cool. After that, it's not great. And then all of a sudden it comes back to being great. But even when I was a child, 2 and 3 years old, my grandfather had to be, the light of Jesus actually shined from that man. I could see the light on him. He just loved the Lord so much. And I used to read the Bible to him at the age of 2 and 3. Couldn't read anything else, but I could read that. And, you know, I look back at it now, and I know that was just the Holy Ghost doing it. even though I didn't understand it back then. God will take children and put his words in their mouths, and then the old adage, out of the mouths of babes become a reality.
Well, you know, Ken, I wasn't privileged to grow up in a Christian home, although our world and our society was much different. When I was a child, we could acknowledge God and we could acknowledge Jesus without any condemnation, but I wasn't taken to church on a regular basis. That there was very few times that it was acknowledged in my life, but I do distinctly remember going on an Easter Sunday once, invited by, I guess, an egg hunt. I at 5 years old, you remember certain things, but I remember an older woman, and I thought she was ancient of days, actually. At 5 years old, anybody over 30 is really old anyway. So, but I remember her calling me out of the class after Sunday school. Then you got to go gather eggs, and the children are all running out of the room, and she called me by name, and I stopped, and she walked over to me, and she put her hand on my head and said to me, I just want to tell you one thing. And I said, okay, looking up, wanting to go get my eggs, fill my basket, be with the other kids. She said, if you ever need anything, you call upon the name of Jesus. And I remember that piercing name flooding that five-year-old from my head to my toes and piercing my heart and feeling a warmth and feeling an acceptance by her words. They weren't fancy words. They weren't deep theological words. It was the name of Jesus. And I remember saying to her, okay, thank you. And she said, now go. And she released me. And that's when I, years and years and years later, after salvation, God brought that moment back to me, and he said, that is the love of Christ.
Amen.
Opening the soul and the spirit of the child. So many times we back away from that, and we think only the Sunday school teachers can do that, or only a pastor can do that, or only a missionary can do that. But the truth of the matter is, without that identity, without that, what our church word we use, impartation, without giving Jesus away free, may I say free, give him away free, don't charge, don't expect, just give him away. She gave him away that day, and it was the seed that was planted, you see, because my family was so far away from God that the only time I heard the name of Jesus was a curse word. And so I had to have an identity brought back into my spirit that said, he's your Savior. She gave me everything I needed to know about the Heavenly Father and the salvation and that he had a plan for me. Amen?
Amen. Well, you know, I think about my past. My father, of course, believed in Jesus Christ. You can't be raised by his father who raised him was an amazing man. My mother, she neither one of them went to church. But even as a young boy, I knew God had a calling on my life. I believe everybody is born with a yearning inward desire to know more about God. Unfortunately, most people don't pay much attention to it these days, but those who do come to know his salvation, his grace, his compassion, and his love. And I was fortunate enough that I got saved, I'm going to say at 12, 13 is when I really made the public profession. And my life changed drastically because of it. I would love to say that I walked that path true and straight, but I didn't. I fell away in my early teens, I was about 17, 18. But the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, according to the Bible. So God has a calling on your life. No matter how hard you try to run, you always run right smack back into him, because he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And
I'm very thankful for that, because as I came to Christ as an adult, it was on my suicide bed. I had come to the end of what I knew and how to do it, and it was just a horrible, horrible situation. It's part of my testimony, but you know, in that encounter where not only had my family not been able to give me what I needed, the world had begun to not give me what I wanted, which was an empty void, which was a fulfillment that I was, there was still hunger even when I ate food. I was still thirsty when I was drinking. And it escalated into their habits and their lifestyle. And yet that anchor that was put in my spirit at age 5, the name of Jesus, instead of calling on him in the manner in which it was given to me, the sweet name of Jesus, that night on my suicide bed, I shouted at God. I screamed at him and said, what kind of God would create a person and leave her empty, leave her without answers, leave her without direction? What kind of God would do that? Not understanding, I'm shouting at God Almighty, but not, and him knowing my heart was not shouting at him. My heart was shouting at the place I was without any fulfillment from the people around me, whether they be Christian or whether they be secular people. No one had the answer. Christians, not one in 23 years, not one in 23 years came and said to me, here's the way of escape. Not one. And so
wow.
I knew about God. I had a reverence that he was the creator, but I had no identity with him as a human. And so I shouted at him. That's not something I recommend. It's not something that everybody does. But I wanted, in the depths of my heart, I had overdosed on drugs, a horrible drug, a PCP. It was a horrible drug. I knew I had overdosed. I knew it. I knew I wasn't coming back. It was a terrible thing, and I had, the spirit of suicide had come upon me, and that was it. I was going to go, and I knew that. And so I had this one moment to say, God, what's wrong with you? And I will say this to you. As I turned and walked out the door to go down and kill myself, as I turned, immediately Jesus appeared before me. People don't want to talk about that kind of experience. I didn't know in human terms who he was, but he looked at me, and without even introducing himself, he just said to me, with his hands wide open and blood piercing from his wrists, he said, I love you just the way you are. And in all of my life, no one had ever said that. And I knew identity. I said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus. That same woman's voice, that same God who I had shouted at, he immediately sent his son to answer my questions and spoke into my life, and there changed immediately. And as scripture says, you know, you tell somebody. He said that, tell somebody. The testimony is amazing. The incredible impartation that came to my life. I was sober, immediately sober, and never turned back. Never turned back to drugs, never turned back to alcohol. It was just an amazing transform, a miracle of an unseasonable measurement. And when people want to hear your testimony, they don't want to hear that part. They don't want to hear about the miracle that God is doing in someone's life right now, in a foreign country, in a foreign nation, in the jungle, in the desert, in the places where people are feeling alone and desperate. And because of technology, and because of the airwaves, and because of TV, and because of the things that are happening across the nation, the name of Jesus is being poured out, even to the place where those who are using his name as cuss words or a curse, even they are bringing up the one name that the spirit inside the human hungers and hears and wants to know more about. And if I can't get there, if I can't get there, if you can't get there, if the radio waves can't get there, if they're in the darkest place of their hour, if they're on their deathbed, if they're professing they're going to end it all, Jesus himself will go. And they're not talking about that anymore, but he came to me, and then he said, go. And so I go. I started small. I started tiny. I started one person at a time. There are many who reject the gospel, many. But it's not given me permission to stop. It's just not, you know, it's not my ticket to stop, Ken. It's not your ticket to stop. When someone says they don't like you or someone says they don't want to hear what you have to say, it doesn't give us permission to stop. And it's what they see as transformation that will change their minds. And we have seen so much for the good in these days, so much for the glory of God. So much is happening. And
that's true.
Now, yeah, and yet we will, as believers, now, and this is sad to say, as believers, we will doubt the conversion and the of a two-year-old or a 70-year-old. We will doubt it. How can a two-year-old come to Jesus? Because they can, and they will. And how can a 70-year-old come to God when he's lived such a vicious, ugly life? Because he can. Because that's the power of God. Yeah.
You know, over the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, God has really been impressing on me to look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Easier said than done. But here recently, a few weeks ago, I was at a tent revival, and there was this older black man walking down the road, limping, talking to himself, cussing like there was no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to talk to him. The whole time he was talking to me, he was, you know, GD this, JC that, I need my $50. And he was just, you know, talking crazy, cussing up the storm. And the Lord said, continue to be nice. Because when I hear people talking like that, it kind of grieves my spirit. You know, I don't like hearing people taking God's name in vain like that. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I talked to him for a while, and he just walked off in the middle of the conversation, and still cussing and talking crazy and walking down the road. Well, the Lord had told me as I was walking up to him that he had 1 foot shorter than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get a chance right at that moment to talk to him much more because he just went off and, like I said, just acted crazy. And about 20 minutes later, he come walking back up to where the tent was. And I looked at him and said, God says you got 1 foot shorter than the other. He goes, yeah. I says, do you mind if I pray for you? He goes, no, go ahead. And I had some very special anointing oil, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but I put one drop of that anointing oil on his forehead. I looked down, and before we prayed, let me explain. There was not just one leg shorter than the other. It was 6-7 inches difference. It's the biggest difference I'd ever seen. I mean, it was really a major difference. And like I said, I put that dot on his forehead, and when I looked down, his feet were absolutely even. I didn't even pray. It just happened that quick. The evangelist and I both, we were just, you know, it amazed us. Well, in those kind of situations when I get to see God do an amazing healing, I get to see these miracles, a lot of times I never, ever get to hear about the person again. You know, it's pray, they're gone. I got a call this past week. Evangelist Brown had held his last revival meeting out there. It's a place called Calvary Hill in Huntsville, Alabama. It's Projects. Okay, not one of the safest places in the world to be, but that man has a heart to get people saved, and I just love him for it. But anyhow, he called me, and he said, "Hey, you know that guy you prayed for, the one with the legs?" I said, "Yeah, I don't think I'm going to forget that one, because I said I didn't pray for him. God did it before we ever said a word." He goes, "Well, he came back."
Praise God.
He came back. He was in his right mind. He was dressed really well. And he was completely different, is what Eugene said. And he had come back for more prayer. And I'm like, and that hit home. God saw him as he came back. When I saw him, I saw a crazy old man cussing my Lord. But if I had been looking as God has instructed me to through the eyes of Jesus, I should have seen him normal, dressed fine, and praising God. I don't know if I'm making any sense on that, but it is, I believe that every Christian, yes?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I believe that every Christian would take the time and due to the best of their ability to look at others through the eyes of Jesus, we would see a lot more salvations, a lot less division and stress within the body of Christ, because then we would be walking like Jesus if we're looking through the eyes of Jesus. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it's clear to you and I who have experienced these things and have walked out and done meetings and been invited to speak, and God grooms people to do certain things, and he gives the giftings, of course, are to everyone. But the challenge that we have today is in throughout the world. I would love to say it's just in America, but it's throughout the world, is that we have banished the call of God on our lives off to the priests and the pastors and the prophets and the teachers and the apostles and the evangelists. We have just said, well, that's who they are. And then we've dummied down the idea of who we are as believers to, well, yes, I can do evangelistic work, but not today. Or, yes, I could have gone to Bible college, and I could have learned to preach, and I could have had a church, but I didn't do that. I got a job instead. And here's the thing. That is so untrue, because the point, what I'm trying to make is, we are the missionaries across the board. No matter how much you have in you, no matter how long you've been saved, whether you got saved at 2 or 70, or you don't have a title, maybe you think you're just a housewife. One of my favorite people in the whole world was a woman who came into my life for 35 years. She loved me. She raised six boys. She was 5'3". Six boys who all grew over the height of 6 foot. But if she spoke, they listened. It didn't matter. And she never shouted. I never in 35 years heard this woman shout unless she was shouting for Jesus. She was a converted Catholic who came to Christ. But when she came to Christ, he spoke this into her life. And he said, I'm going to use you to preach the gospel. And she said, wow, I don't have time for that. You know, I have six boys, I have a husband, I have all these things to do. Will you please, Lord, give me my mission field, the one that I can identify with? Her mission field spent most of the time in her kitchen cooking for six boys, or in the grocery store shopping so that she could cook for six boys. So what she did was she took her mission field to Walmart. And she'd say to me, go to Walmart with me, I'm going shopping. And I said, sure, I would go because I loved her and I wanted to hang out with her. But here's the thing. I knew that the minute she got into Walmart, I'd be doing the shopping and she'd be doing the ministry. And what would happen is she'd walk through the halls of Walmart and she'd wait to hear someone cough. And she'd hear them coughing. She'd be in another aisle. She'd look at me and she said, I'll be right back. And off she'd go, and you'd stand there and wait for her, and you could hear her on the other side of the aisle. Darling, I hear you're coughing. May I pray for you? And just like you said, they say yes immediately. Yes. Because they don't want to cough. They don't want to be sick. They don't want to have six-inch legs shorter than the other. They want to be renewed in spirit. They want to be held up. They want to have a testimony. They want to know that they're not going to go to hell. They want to know all that. You know why? Because they came from heaven in the first place, and they want to go back there.
Amen.
And they want to live their life here whole. Change comes. Second part of this journey is that we need to be like her. Ask God to, she started inviting other teenagers to her house that hung out with her six boys, and she'd just give them Jesus. And she just said, look, the drugs and alcohol that you're involved in are not going to get you anywhere. You need to know Christ. And she has a greater following of people. They just love her. They just love her because she took the mission that was given to her and she took it into the places where she could go. And for years I went into the nations and she would just say to me, I'm not intimidated by you going to the missions. I'll pray for you in the foreign fields. You pray for me in my home because I'm inviting these ungodly people into my home and they need Jesus. And so we find ourselves today talking about who are the missionaries? Where have they gone? Where are we? We are missionaries, everyone who does sound of my voice. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're an apostle. I don't care if you're a teacher, an evangelist. I don't care. Those are great, wonderful things that you are doing. I'm happy for that. But you are the missionaries. You are. And you carry that deposit in you that God wants released, and that's come to Christ. That's the deposit that we've been given that we're to release and impart.
You know, I in my own life, especially over the last 6 months, I've probably seen, 25, 30 healings in Walmart. Just because, when I started out, God would say, go pray for that person. And that's kind of intimidating. It fear came in, and fear is just to try to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. One time I remember he said, go pray for that guy over there in the wheelchair. He's got a bad hip. And I said, okay. And I walked by him, went on down another aisle, and I come back, walked by him. Probably walked by him five times before I finally said, okay, Lord, I will stop. And when I stopped, he looked at me, he says, you're going to pray for me, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I was afraid to stop and ask him if I could pray for him. And he told me I was going to. And he got healed Monday.
Hallelujah.
My wife and I went to Walmart and ran into a guy by the name of Lester. Had a wonderful spirit on him. He was a wise man, too, because I asked him if there was anything I could pray for him for. And he said, well, I'm not going to say what's going on. Because he understood the power of the word.
And I
get empathy pain, so I knew it was his hip. And I prayed for him. His hip got healed. I tell people all the time, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. When you pray for somebody, I've had people say to me, well, what if nothing happens? And I go, okay, nothing happens. But what if something does happen? You know? So we all, as you said, I have to agree with what you say. We all have our mission filled. And if we follow the Spirit, He will take us right to where we need to be in that mission field to fulfill what He wants done that day. That's all I got to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, my hope is today that whoever's listening understands that when we go to church and when we are in fellowship, not forsaking our fellowship one with another, and we have that kindred spirit with those who are around us, that's our filling station. That's our place where if the uncompromised word of God is being preached, you take that word, that fill up, and you take it out, and the first person or the first encounter that you have, while it's still fresh in your mind, give it away. Give it away.
Amen.
Act upon. Do this. And out of that, we become braver, and we become, wow, that was easy. Now, look, we're going to be rejected. Jesus was rejected. I had a rejection today, and my heart wept because in 1 week's time where this person was extremely receptive and loving Jesus, today sends me this text that, you know, just all manner of disrespect. Said, what were you trying to do, trying to convert me, blah, blah, blah. And, the rejection comes. It's not because of me, though. It's because they don't believe the truth. They have believed lies. And there's a little scientific fact out there that people need to know. You say this lie three times, you believe it is truth. That's how our mind, our imagination can become. It can become a pathway of hearing things too many times, and it becomes the truth. And that's really why technology has, in one way, become a travesty, and on the other side of it, it has become a gift. So we have to learn to rely on the uncompromised word of God, and that is that God said He never lies. Well, my reaction now cannot be to this person, well, you're going to go to hell. That's not true at all. It's just that my opportunity to plant the seed, the ground had been plowed. It's my opportunity to plant the seed. Now, if the rejection comes from me, to me, as the human in this, I now release it to the power of the Holy Spirit for conviction. And I just sent back a gentle text and said, I just love you. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm not sorry that I gave the gospel. I'm not sorry that I explained who Jesus was. That is not what I'm that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if they reject me, that's okay, because they rejected Jesus. For the, you know, those I remember before I got saved, I you have to think about this. Who do they see us as? Do they see us as the person that, can I use a terminology you might laugh, but if there's a question about it, just ask me about it. They see us as Bible thumpers. We beat them with the Bible. We beat them with it. And we demand they read the Bible. Well, they don't understand His words. They don't know Him. That Bible is for us. It's our handbook. It's our workbook. It's our place to understand it so that we don't beat them with it. And so when you go and you pray for someone in Walmart, and you know, I'll just say this. I think Sam, who created Walmart, I don't remember his last name, but I know his name was Sam. He's he planted Walmarts all over the world. You don't think that he didn't know that there would come a season where Walmart could possibly be a ground, a place where people could go and preach the gospel and sing the gospel? And yes, you don't think that all those crazy people that come into Walmart aren't hungering and thirsting for those Christians to get there and tell them about Jesus? They all know Sam was a Christian. They all know. His children know. His grandchildren know. Go there. That land was given over for the glory of God. That man intended for his business was blessed by God. And so we have these places that in America we can still go. So I just want you to hear this incitement that when we are rejected for sharing the love of Christ, he never leaves them. He never leaves them. He is, we say this all the time, he's like a hunting dog. You know, he will hunt. He hunted me down. He looked for me. He searched the world. When I was running from him, he knew where I was. When I was lost, he knew he could find me. He never took his eyes off of me. Those are the words that those that you are encountering want to hear. They want to hear, you mean God hasn't forgotten me, that you would stop and pray for me. And so as we're living in this world in these last days, Ken, let's talk about the heightened things that are happening. Two things are happening. People are being quiet and not saying anything. Or we have people who are saying things that are not quite correct. And
I hear you on that.
We have to find the correction that is only in the Word of God. Okay? It's only in the Word of God. If you want to learn, you have to be disciplined. You have to be a disciple. You have to want. We have a higher rate now of retired people in the United States than we've ever had in history. What you doing? What you doing, sitting in front of the TV again? Look, find your mission. Find your voice. My mom lived 89 years. She started preaching the gospel at 13. At 14, she found the man that she would marry, a godly man, and she married him, and she stayed married over 60 years. In her late 80s, early 80s, she became wheelchair-bound. She started teaching Sunday school in her 80s, okay, started, took on the women's older class and started. She said, I don't have much, but I've been a Christian all these years. I'm going to let God pull out of me what he's put in me, and I'm going to teach it. And I'm going to study, and I'm going to become a disciple. And she began to teach the gospel in her late 80s, and she lived for 9 more years at the height of her ministry. And she would hand make thousands of items. She would sit and knit and crochet and make little baby blankets for aborted babies that were going to be buried or babies who had been miscarried. And she would make little blankets and little boxes for the caskets. And she would pray over every little thing that she made. And she would ship them to me, and she would say, please take these. And I prayed over every one of them, and she began her ministry. So it's never too late. And with the, what? How many times can you get on a cruise ship, honestly? Unless you've got a mission field on the cruise ship, how many days can you actually float around in the ocean on a cruise ship for seniors, eat and sleep all day? I mean, really? I mean,
I've never had that experience, so I don't know.
Me either, but...
But I get your point.
Yeah, my point all right, is...
I know more and more in my heart, each and every day, that Jesus is coming very soon, and... About a little over a year ago, I was actually bedridden. I couldn't walk. My hips had given out. Well, to make the story short, God healed me and changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I made a promise then. I said, Lord, I'm in it to win it. This is the final leg of the race. And I'm going to run like I've never run before. And I haven't stopped since I told him that. I continue to run because I'm seeing the prophetic coming true. The things that I was taught as a young man, I've watched it just happen right before my eyes. And all the signs are there that he's coming back. But I also know that he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh like he's never done before in the history of mankind. There are people out there. I mean, I see lots of miracles. But since May, I've probably seen about 260 healings.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of healings in a very short period of time. In my 25 years of ministry before that, 35 years actually, I might have seen 25, 30 miracles. And a lot of them are really cool. But lately, it's almost constant. There's not a week never goes by that I don't see one or two miracles. And a lot of times, there's a day that don't come by I don't see that many. Mm-hmm. But I have a friend of mine 10 miles from me. He's seeing the same kind of miracles. The blind are receiving the sight. Deaf are getting ears. People are coming out of wheelchairs. God is just pouring his spirit out like I've never seen in the history of mankind. And I believe the reason for it is there is a mission field in front of us, a big mission field. For me, it's the whole United States. I believe there's a fire about to spread out from where I live, and it's going to burn across this country, and it's going to be the final revival, is the way I'm putting it. It's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before. I've studied all the generals. You know, I have a few of my favorites. A.A. Allen, William Branham, Catherine Coleman.
Yes.
What they did is nothing compared to what we're about to see. And it's already happening. You know, in John 14:12, it says, Jesus said, I guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing, they will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Well, he's gone to the Father, and we are now in the time of us being able to do greater things.
You know, Psalms 4:3 says, you know, please understand this. That Psalms 4:3, please understand this. I mean, he says, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. Okay? The Lord will hear me when I cry out to him. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't care how you use me, just use me. Just use me. You know, A.W. Tozer is one of my favorites, and Spurgeon. We have some great leaders that have gone before us, who laid down their lives, who didn't have what we have been given in freedom and fuel and retirement money and nice houses to live in and all that. But A.W. Tozer said, to be right with God has often meant to be trouble with men. And that is one of the things that we don't want to do. We don't want to trouble anybody. Well, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He said, amen. I come to bring aught between mother and father, husband and wife, sister and brother. The families are not going to be happy. When I came to Christ, no one in my family was saved. As long as I was with them, I was with them. The minute I became a Christian, whoa. I became the black sheep of the family. I became the one they said, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? We'll see about that. And so
let me interrupt just for a second, because it looks like we have a caller.
Awesome.
Go ahead, caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Calling for three. Hi there. How you doing?
We can hear you. Bishop. Oh, you can hear me. Wonderful.
Go ahead,
Bishop. I'm a partner of Ms. King's.
Oh, awesome.
We travel to India and other countries. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Bishop. How are you?
I'm good. I finally got on. I tell you, I was having a little frustration, but I'm so excited about the future. You know, we've seen so many great things happen in the past. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do next. And I thank God for this woman of God who travels and travels and travels and does it all in the name of the Lord and not in her name, but unto him. And we like to call each other kindred.
She is an awesome woman. I actually met her through Yvonne Hellchase. Is that the name?
Yes, Yvonne Hellchase. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. I had called into one of their programs, and they had spoke. Her and Yvonne spoke prophetically over my life, and it was just an awesome experience because the Spirit of God showed up, and you know that's how we know each other is by the Spirit of God, and I have to agree with you. She's something, and I'm so glad that she joined us today. And I'm like you, Bishop. I'm waiting to see more and more because I know more and more is coming. I know that,
yes.
And I tell people
yes.
all the time. Part of my job is I call it show and tell. Show the power of God, and then we tell them why. And then people get
That's
saved.
Right.
People get healed.
That's right.
People get saved. And it's all mm-hmm. done by the Holy Spirit. And he's my best friend. I love him a whole bunch, if you know what I mean. And I want to thank you for calling in. Did you have any questions or any other comments you wanted to make, Bishop?
Well, I just want to encourage everyone that who's listening that missions is still for today. One of the biggest things that we encounter, and I'm going to use this term generically, that a lot of churches don't have a vision for missions anymore, and we need for God's people to get a vision, that, and it's really missions is maybe. An old word, but it's really win the lost at any cost. And that's what we're doing. We're winning the lost. And we still need people who will pray for us, lift us up, and also financially back us. Because it's all we do by faith in God. And we know that God will move mountains, but we know that God will speak to people to help us through the mountain moving process.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we have a little slogan in our ministry, and it's called Build the Kingdom.
Right.
And that's what it's all about, because the King is coming, and we need to bring as many with us as possible. You know, like Dee said earlier, you know, your mission field could be Walmart, but we also have to, if I may inject and agree with you, Bishop, is we must support those who are out there doing God's work. If we can't go do it, at least we can support them, and it will be counted towards us for doing so.
That's
Amen?
True. That's true. That's true.
You know, I want to interject here that for missions, for anyone, I don't care, but from the top to the highest level, to the one who just came to Christ today. Missions is not a burden. It's not a heavy mantle. It's not a project. It's not a job. Missions is our position. It's just our position. It's what
yeah.
we do. It's not. It's what we are assigned to do. It's the very
right.
thing. It's the very breath. It's the very subject. It's the very matter.
Mm.
And I have, to be honest with you, I've had people say to me, we have a once a month luncheon, and 1 month I didn't get in the invitation or the time or the place, and I just assumed it had gotten, you know, rescheduled. And these are friends of 30 years, friends, good church people who love me. And I the next day they said, where were you? And I said, well, somebody forgot to send me the text. I didn't know. And they said, no, actually, you just come and talk about Jesus all the time, and we just wanted to be we just wanted to talk about other things. Okay, you know, okay. After 30 years, you know, the gospel in my little close-knit group was wanting to talk about other things, and so I had to really take that to prayer. We are not going to be a part of the world or any part of it. And John 15:19 says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. And I Amen. Choose you to come out of the world so the world will hate you. And sometimes we're rejected by our own, quote, friends. But it's not us they're rejecting. It's not the word. They don't want to talk about the gospel. They're like, I love it. Let's sit down and talk about Jesus day and night. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Amen. Where are you out talking about it?
Yeah, but it's no good to anyone if we don't give it away. We keep it within the four walls of our congregations and our churches. Why? So that the lost can walk into the church. Let me tell you, when I was unsaved, I would not go into church. I would not walk in that church building because I didn't know who you were. I didn't know what you were doing. And I was not going into those four walls because you, as I was an unbeliever, you were a believer. I didn't know what you were doing. And you hear, for 23 years, I heard all these strange stories, what you guys do in church. You get down on your knees and you shout and you sing all day long. Who wants to do that? When you're in the world, you've got other things to do. You've got, you know, we don't, as unsaved people, they don't see us as Jesus sees us. They see us as who we are called, peculiar, aliens, not of this world. And they look at us like that.
Now, that they do.
As a visionary, Ken, as someone who sees things and sees things that are not in the natural, I see things in my mind. I don't know how to explain that, how God just kind of, I say one word and he pours in 10,000 words. And when he pours in his word, you begin to see things in your mind about how he's speaking to me personally. He doesn't allow me to say everything I see or speak everything he speaks to me. There is a time and a place for everything. And missions doesn't mean that you go in with a big banner in Walmart and say, and carry your Bible and say, I'm here to beat all the unbelievers to death with the word of God. You don't do that. You go in with fear and trepidation and you pray and we love Walmart, so I'm just using them as an example. Any place can you go, but you go with a humble heart. You don't go to the nations, you don't go across the countries, you don't cross into their borders. If you don't have an understanding of their culture, get it before you go. You know, understand who these people are that you're going to testify to. Jesus never walked into other lands and did not understand who the people were. He knew who they were. He knew what they needed. And he went there to present his Father. And that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, I want Praise to God. Take time right now. Praise God. Bishop, I want to thank you for calling in. Dr. D., I really appreciate it. This hour went by so fast, but we are running out of time. So I'm going to thank you once again. I encourage everybody that, you know, everyday life is a mission field if you're looking for the opportunities. I want to thank Reverend Stan Shell for giving us the opportunity once again to be on the air. This is his program. I'm just the host. But God bless each and every one of you that are listening. Have a great day. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Amen.